We read a verse, couple of verses for our scripture reading that was reminds us of God's intent for husbands and wives. Let me read a couple more verses to lay the groundwork for my message tonight. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." If a man and a woman stay married to one another for a lifetime, it's not because they are perfect, but it's because they have learned some Bible principles that have helped them live with each other's imperfections. If two people remain close friends for a lifetime, it's not because they are perfect, but because they have learned some Bible principles that help them be friends in spite of their imperfections. If a pastor and a church, or if a church member and a church, stay together for years and years and years, it's not because they never make mistakes, it's not because they never hurt each other, but because they've learned some Bible principles that help them preserve their relationship. It is God's intent that our marriages last a lifetime. And again, I'm not condemning anybody's past. I can't undo the past. I can work on what's present. I can work on what's today. And I would remind every husband and wife here tonight that it is God's intent that your marriage last till death do you part. It is God's intent that friends love each other at all times for a lifetime. If you have a close friend, thank God for him or her. It is God's intent that that friendship last. And it is God's intent that we be steadfast in our relationship with our church. And I know on occasion, because of circumstances, we have to move and God calls us to another place. But I think God is pleased when people stay in a church a long time. I think he's displeased when churches change pastors and people change churches like they do their socks. I think he is pleased when people get to a church and stay in that church until God calls them away. Now, I will tell you, it's easy to establish relationships. It takes work to maintain them. And if relationships are not maintained, they fall apart. And again, lasting relationships are not built on perfection. If they were, none of us would have any lasting relationships, because there's nobody here tonight, and I know there's some good folks here tonight, but there's nobody here tonight that's perfect. There's nobody here tonight that's sinless. There's nobody here tonight that every time does everything that they're supposed to do. There's nobody here tonight that is thoughtful all the times they should be thoughtful. That nobody here tonight that is kind all the times they should be kind. Nobody here tonight that should be considerate all the times they should be considerate. Nobody here tonight that is courteous all the times that they should be courteous. Lasting relationships are not built on our perfection. Lasting relationships are built on principles that we find in the Word of God, principles that are based on the person this Word is about. Now, I want to tell you before I start tonight, and again, I'm going to preach a real practical message tonight. But I want to tell you tonight, if you're not saved, I can't tell you how to make your marriage last a lifetime. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I can't tell you how to make your friendships last a lifetime. I can tell you that you're a sinner. I can tell you that your sin separates you from the God that created you and loves you. I can tell you tonight that Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross paid for every one of your sins. Every single one of them. Paid in full for every one of your sins. And I can tell you tonight that if you receive him, If you trust him, if you ask him to save you, he will save you, and he will give you the power to become part of God's family. And before you worry about any other relationship in your life, you need to make sure that the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, the relationship that you have with God, is right, is good. And it's only good if you come to that point in your life where you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I do not. There's no way I deserve any of your love. I believe that that sin separates me from you. And I believe that you love me enough. You sent your son to die in my place. And right now I'm asking Jesus for you to save me. And he will. He will. So don't worry about any other relationship in your life until you get that one right. Now, tonight, I think most of us are saved. Most of us have asked Jesus to save us. And there are some principles in the Word of God that help us make our relationships last. So tonight, I preach a sermon entitled, Four Fours to Preserve Life Relationships. Four, the number four, fours, F-O-R-S, to preserve life relationships. So here they are. The first one, the first four, is 4C. 4C. If we're going to preserve the relationships that we have in our life, we need foresight. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. That word prudent means a man that has some horse sense. A man that has some common sense. A man that has sense. And so a prudent man foreseeth. In other words, looks ahead. Doesn't just drift through life like the flower people did in the 60s without thinking about anything. They pay attention to what's going on in life. They are not oblivious to things in their life, but they notice the things that are in their life. And they have the foresight to see what's coming. And so a prudent man, a man that has some horse sense, looks ahead and sees the evil, the damaging things, the things that will hurt, the things that will break up a relationship. And the Bible says, hideth himself. In other words, gets out of the way of the evil that he sees coming. Changes his course, changes his position, so that when that hurtful thing comes, when that damaging thing comes, it won't hit him. Because he saw it coming and moved out of the way. That's what that verse is saying. It's saying, if we've got any sense, if we've got any sense at all, we will look ahead. We will see things that will hurt our relationships, and rather than stand there and let them overcome us, we'll get out of the way. We'll hide ourselves. Now, if I'm driving my car, and I'm on a two-lane road, and I look down the road, and I see a car headed straight for me in my lane, I have one of two choices to make. I can stay in my lane and say, well, that guy's driving on the wrong side of the road. He needs to get over on his side. I'm in the right, so I'm going to stay in my lane. And I could say, well, let's just see who's going to be chicken. Let's just see who's going to move first. Let's just see whose car can best take the crash. Now, if I've got any sense, and I think I have a little bit now and then, I am going to pull over to the side of the road and let that knucklehead pass me without crashing into me. That's what a prudent person will do. They will get out of the way. They look, they see the danger coming, and they hide themselves or they get out of the way. Now, most of us are like that man called RT. RT was a man that applied for a job at the rail yard. And the yard master was walking him around, sort of doing an interview for him to see if he was going to give him this job. And he says, RT, I got a question I want to ask you. Let's suppose you're out in the train yard one day and you look down this track and there's a train coming this direction going 60 miles an hour. And then you look down the track in this direction and there's a train coming this way at 80 miles an hour. And so you got a train coming this way, 60 miles an hour. You got a train coming this way, 80 miles an hour. What are you going to do? And RT thought for a minute, and he says, I'd holler at the top of my lungs, RC, RC, RC. And the station master gave him a blank look and said, hey, you must have not understood the question. And RT said, oh, no, I understood the question. No, you must have not understood the question. There's a train coming. They're on the same track. Maybe I didn't make that clear. They're on the same track. This one's coming this way, 60 miles an hour. This one's coming this way, 80 miles an hour. What are you going to do? He says, I understood the question completely. I'd holler at the top of my lungs, RC, RC, RC. He said, what do you mean, RC? He said, I call my friend RC. He ain't never seen a crash about to happen. And most of us are like that. We see the crash coming. We see the accident about to happen. And rather than get out of the way, we say, hey, I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see it happen. You say, no. What do you mean by that? Okay, let me give you an example. How many husbands here tonight know at least one thing that sets their wives off? That irritates them, that gets under their skin, that just makes them mad. Now, just be honest. How many of you know at least one thing that does that to your wife? Okay, put your hand. Linda, I was talking to the husbands. Oh, you're raising your hand for Darwin? Both hands for Darwin? Okay. Okay, let me ask this. How many wives here tonight would say, no, at least one thing that would set off their husband? I mean, that gets under his skin, that irritates him. Raise your hand. All right. And so we know. We know the things that we can do to set them off, to irritate them. If we know that, why do we do those things? You say, well, preacher, I don't. Now, remember, you're in church. I don't do those. Oh, you never do those things? If I asked your spouse, what would they say? Do you do them or do you not? We do. We do them, and then we say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And I will say to you, yes, you did. You knew exactly what you were doing. You wanted to get under my skin. You wanted to irritate me. Otherwise, you would remember what happened the last time you did it, and you wouldn't do it again because you know the results that it brings about. Our relationships ought to be important enough not to take them for granted. We ought to exercise foresight. If we see something coming that will hurt them, we ought to get out of the way. So, again, now listen, we can't avoid all of them. I mean, there are some things that we know, and they're just sometimes we just can't help but do it. But we can avoid a lot more than we do if we exercise foresight, look for the things that will damage our relationships, not only our husband and wife relationships, but our relationship with our friends, our relationships in our church. If we see something like that coming, don't just stand there and let it hit. Get out of the way. Hide yourself from it. Exercise some foresight. The second four I would submit to you tonight is the word forbear. Forbear. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the land of peace. Now, forbearing is like establishing a buffer zone or a cushion. The word actually means bear in advance or bear out in front. It's like a football player, a runner, that uses his arm to push away the defenders as they try to tackle him. He's bearing their attempt to tackle out in front before they get to his body and actually make the tackle. And so if I forbear with another person, it means that I know that they have an imperfection. I know that they have a fault. I know sooner or later that it's going to show up in our relationship. When it does, I'm not going to be surprised. When it does, I'm not going to be hurt because I bore it already. I decided when I was going to be their friend. I decided when I was going to be their husband, or ladies, when you decided you were going to be his wife. We decided when we joined the church that there were going to be things that happen, and we said, when they happen, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm going to bear it right now. I'm going to bear it right now. And when it happens, it's not going to hurt. When it happens, it's not going to break up my relationship. Now, let me give you an example. You and I both know people that are very blunt. You and I both know people that say what's on their mind without thinking about it very much, about how it comes off, about how it sounds, about how it makes others feel. If we decide to be friends with somebody like that, we're going to decide up front that when that happens, we're going to forbear it up front. And we're going to decide that when it happens, well, I knew it was going to happen one time or another, and it's not going to hurt me because I knew it was coming. And we might, in the beginning of a relationship, we might see it in their relationship with other people. I mean, we might see them being very blunt with other people, saying things that we might think are hurtful and the other person might think is hurtful because they're saying what's on their mind. They're not thinking about it very much. They're just being themselves. They're being blunt. Forbearance says, hey, I knew it was going to happen. I saw it happen with other people. I knew it was going to happen to me sooner or later. I decided when I went into that relationship that when it happened, it wasn't going to hurt our relationship. I wasn't going to be hurt by it. I knew it was going to happen, and so I forbore it. I forbear it. If you know, if you've been around long enough, you know I say the word W-A-S-H, wash. I say it with an R in it. And I know some people say, I wish the preacher would just learn how to speak English. I wish he would learn to try to say that word right. And I've tried. I cannot. And so I just ask for your forbearance. You know what's going to happen sooner or later. When that word comes up in my sermons or when it comes up in a song, you know you're going to hear the R. You're going to hear wash. It's going to come out. Just don't be hurt by it. Don't be offended by it. Just know that it's coming. Forbear. Number three, forgive. Forgive. Again, in the book of Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I want you to notice the progression in these fours. Foresight is prevention. I try to prevent the hurt. I try to prevent the damaging effect on my relationship by getting out of the way. I try to prevent it. Forbearance is protective. I put that cushion up. I forbear before it happens to keep it from the crash from occurring. Forgiveness is corrective. I didn't see it coming. I didn't protect from a forbearance standpoint from it from getting hurt. I got hurt. Now what do? I forgive. I forgive. The simplest form of forgiveness is to say, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm not going to count that. I'm just not going to count it. I'm not going to put it on the record of our relationship. I'm just not going to do it. And if we forgive, that verse says that we need to forgive like God has forgiven us. He forgives the guilty. And God is more eager to forgive the guilty than the guilty want to be forgiven. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And not one of those soldiers asked for his forgiveness. God forgives without limitations. Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. 490 times. I don't think he was talking about the number 490. He was talking about an unlimited forgiveness where I give you another chance. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get it all fixed up before the day ends. Give them another chance before the day ends. Which brings us to our fourth four, forget. Forget. This is restorative. If I forgive like God, I not only forgive, but I forget. It doesn't mean that he forgets what happens. It means I choose to let it be history and not current events. In other words, I tear up all the lists I've been keeping. I tear up all the past wrongs. I eliminate all the debt. I choose to forget so that the relationship can be restored. Can be restored. And it's only when I forget that I can forgive and not forget, and the relationship can never be restored. It's only when I forgive and forget that the relationship can be restored. I know some of you, several of you, restore old cars. Terry does it, I know. I know Paul restores old tractors. And I know some of you, some of the others of you are involved in that same hobby. What's the objective of restoring an old vehicle? It's putting it back in the original condition. Right? Putting back in, and some people are so particular, they search, you know, the whole country to get an original part that was made in the time period of when that vehicle was built. And they'll go to great lengths and pay a lot of money to get that original part. Why? Because they're trying to restore the vehicle to the original condition. Well, when I forgive and forget, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to restore the relationship to what it was before the hurt occurred, before the damage was done. I want to get it back to where it was. You've been in relationships and something happened, and I've heard these words over and over again as I've talked to people. Well, I've forgiven them, but it'll never be the same. We can never have the same relationship that we had before they did this thing to me, or this situation occurred. It'll never be the same. It'll never be the same because you choose not to forget it. You choose to keep it on a list. You choose to keep it close to the vest. You choose to keep it on your mind. That relationship can only be restored when you not only forgive, but you forget. Isn't that what God did for us? I mean, in the Garden of Eden, he had a relationship with man. Man sinned. Well, and God paid for that sin through the blood of his Son. And we get forgiveness. We get forgiveness for our sins. But God does more than that. He says, I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm going to justify you. I'm going to make you just like you never sinned. I'm going to go back and I'm going to restore the relationship that I had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they ate the fruit. Think about that. God wants a relationship with you just like he had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. He wants to restore that kind of relationship. And the only way that he can do that is to not only forgive us, but to choose to forget. And I know God doesn't forget. I know God knows everything that's ever happened since the world began in detail. But he chooses to say, I'm going to forget it. I'm not going to let it affect this relationship. I want the relationship with man to be restored to what I had in mind when I created them, when I put them in the Garden of Eden. That's what I want the relationship to be. So I'm going to forgive and forget. And the only way that our relationships will last the length of time that God wants them to last, whether it'll be in a marriage, whether it'll be in a friendship, or whether it'll be in a church situation, is to forgive and to forget and say, I want it to be like it was before. I want our relationship to be like it was before this hurt, before this situation occurred, before we both said things that we shouldn't have said, we both did things that we shouldn't have done. I want our relationship to go back to what it was. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I'll tell you something tonight. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't. But through Jesus Christ, which strengthens you to do all things, you can do it through Him. You can do it through Him. He wants our relationships to last. He wants them to last. And He's given us principles in His Word. If we'll follow Him, help us do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth that's in us. Not only a wonderful book because it tells us how much You love us and what You did for us on Calvary's cross, but it's a wonderful book because You tell us how to live, how to conduct our life as Your children. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they can't worry about any of their other relationships until they get the one with Him right. I pray they'd come tonight, admit their sin, understand that Jesus paid for all of it on Calvary's cross and asked Him to save them. If there's just one here tonight that needs to do that, please, Holy Spirit, bring them to the Savior tonight. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. The life that You've designed for us, for the most part, is simple. It's not complicated. We're the ones that complicate it. Father, just help us to listen to what we've heard tonight and to put it into practice. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.